Creativity is contagious. Pass it on in any way possible. Albert Einstein. Hi, creatives. So happy to have you tune into our second season of Bring Up Creativity. I'm your host, Daniela Bonche, a Toronto-based graphic designer and serial entrepreneur looking to spread awareness on pursuing your creative passions or endeavors, whether it be in business, a side hustle, or hobby, you name it.
On today's episode of Bring Up Creativity, we are joined with Georgia P. Gray. Georgia is an integrative nutrition health coach and is the founder of the Denver-based practice Whole Body Healing Nutrition. Georgia helps people feel well through food and self-care, and she specializes in Lyme disease, autoimmune disease, hormone imbalance, and weight. Georgia works one-on-one with clients to get their life back. She also offers her online course, Nutrition Business Bootcamp, to teach others in the nutrition field how to build a nutrition business of their dreams. Hi, Georgia. How are you?
Hey, Danielle. I'm good. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. Happy to be doing this with you, and I'm happy to be covering the topic with you as well. Following your content online, I've learned a lot, but I'm just happy to be getting on a call with you to be talking about nutrition. I love how you also work a lot with females and hormones and weight loss and how we can make ourselves feel good for us. So I'm super happy to have you on and discuss all of this with you.
Yeah, absolutely. I know. I'm so excited to chat too. And all those things you mentioned are some of my favorite things to talk about. And it affects so many of us. So happy to be here with you.
It does. And I don't think a lot of people realize that it affects how we also act in our business as well, or in our creative inspiration. It affects us mentally. But before I get into all of your juicy content that I know you absolutely have, I'm going to start off by asking you this. What's your go-to coffee or tea order?
Yes, this is a daily occurrence for me. So my go-to is a decaf almond milk latte.
Oh, so how does that taste? I've actually never even tried that before.
Really? Oh, it's so good. And it's when it gets hot in the summer too, I go iced. But today it's a kind of a dreary, rainy day in Denver.
So you went warm.
I went warm today, and it was such a nice way to start my morning.
Do you make that at home too, or do you just usually go out and you get that one?
I go out. My coffee break is such, you know, that ritual and just that break in the day to take that deep breath and get out of your desk. And
it is. And it's so necessary. I feel like sometimes even when I skip that break, I automatically just don't feel like I had any time that I put into myself throughout the day. That even just that little few minute coffee break really, really helps just to make me feel like I've prioritized myself and not just my business entirely.
Oh, totally. And then I find too, ironically, you're so much more productive when you've actually stepped away and allowed some space and time from the business.
Exactly. Well, let's start with where you started. Let's just say that. I want everybody to get to know you from the very beginnings. And that being, how did you discover your love for holistic nutrition?
Yeah, absolutely. So it really was my own kind of personal experience and journey that I think a lot of us in the nutrition and wellness field, ultimately why we do what we do, of kind of what we've been through. So to make a long story short, I had always been someone that was pretty healthy and never had any health issues. I was always really active and athletic. And then when I was about a junior in college, I all of a sudden got just racked with this onslaught of health issues. I would get headaches every single day, 3 p.m. I would get really bad migraines that were, you know, to the point so debilitating I couldn't move. And then really, really bad acid reflux, which doctors were just kind of scratching their head at me saying, well, I've never seen someone this young with this bad of acid reflux, your blood work's fine, we don't know. And then it was through almost a self-diagnosis that I started to eliminate gluten. And then from there, I finally got tested and it turns out I was celiac, which is an autoimmune response to gluten. So not just sensitive to gluten, but also this autoimmune component. So I eliminated gluten. And then this was back in 2011. And I was also in college in Texas. And so gluten-free really wasn't what it fortunately is today, where things are labeled. And I don't know how it is in Toronto, but where I live in Denver, any restaurant you go to, you're going to get a gluten-free menu, and it's really easy here. But, you know, over 10 years ago, it wasn't this mainstream. And so for the first time, I was looking at what's in my food and as a result, cooking a lot too, because there was a lot I couldn't eat. Yeah. So just fell in love with cooking and nutrition and food and And then also learning too, and starting to wonder, you know, why is there this weird ingredient I can't pronounce in my food, and things like that, which then led me to my nutrition school. And so I actually used to be a first grade teacher. So I would teach first grade and then I'd come home and do my nutrition school. And then kind of and it was kind of nice because I was in a really stressful job at the time, and it was just this great outlet and kind of how I was spending my time anyway. So I was like, well, I might as well get a degree if I'm going to be researching this all the time. So then I moved back home to Denver where I'm from. And then kind of right as I was finishing up my nutrition school, I started to get a whole other weird onslaught of symptoms. Again, long story short, I ended up going undiagnosed for about a year. They thought I had rheumatoid arthritis. Turned out I had Lyme disease. Went through about 4 years of being really sick, really debilitated, feeling terrible. But I knew that I could heal this with food. I knew I could heal it with taking care of myself and this holistic side of things. And I ultimately was able to get into remission with Lyme disease. And I think my nutrition was a huge piece of that puzzle. And then being on the other side of that, I realized, gosh, I have this skill set of how to help people get better plus a degree. And so I eventually quit my teaching job in 2019 and then launched my business, Whole Body Healing Nutrition, where what I do now, and I say, you know, I work with people that don't feel well. So maybe you have that Lyme diagnosis or something up with your hormones, or sometimes it's even just people that have a bad stomach ache and they are seeking help through food. So now that's what I do, and work with clients one-on-one.
I feel like I've said this before, but I feel like in your case, it's completely accurate, because with you going through those times where you were trying to figure out why you were feeling that way, and then you're going to doctors and then they're scratching their head. And I feel like a lot of times as women in our younger years, we're not looked at very seriously by doctors.
Oh my God, yeah.
And it's a struggle entirely. I used to go for hormone issues all the time and they would just be like, oh, you're young, you're fine.
Right.
I still don't think I was fine. And I let that go undiagnosed for so long. But when you start to do a process of elimination in what you're eating, that seriously helped me more than any doctor that I had when I was having issues in relation to like my hormones or my gut health. And I'm sure you experienced that too, because you said like they were scratching your head. Was your first goal to get medicine, or was it, hey, I just got diagnosed, let me see how I can fix this through food? Or did you want to go the medicine route first? Because for me, I wanted to go the natural route first, because I think the last thing I kind of want, depending on where I'm at, of course, in a diagnosis, I always want to go that natural route because, mm-hmm. I don't know, it feels good for me and I've been there and it's worked for me before. Mm-hmm. Where were you at in the very beginning? Were you wanting medicine first, or did you automatically go to like your passion and thinking, hey, I'm studying health and nutrition and I love it, maybe I should try really great healthy food options?
Yeah, so many goodies in there. I mean, I think, you know, just to kind of also mention too of what you were saying with just women being dismissed, I think I tell every single client that sits in my office, like if I had a dollar for the amount of people that tell me that exact same story, particularly my female clients,
it's crazy.
It's insane. I mean, it's absolutely insane. And so, and with that, to kind of get to your question, so much of my diagnosis was advocating for myself and that gut feeling of like, no, freaking listen to me. Something is wrong. And so I think for anyone listening, female or not, if your gut is telling you something is off, to really listen to that. I mean, before they diagnosed me with celiac, they wanted to, they're like, well, you can just get on this prescription strength acid reducer, or we can give you esophageal surgery. And again, it was like that feeling, no. And so fortunately with celiac, I really just eliminated gluten. I was fine. But it's interesting you ask about medication with Lyme, because that really was this push and pull and a pretty big struggle for me. Mm-hmm. Because at first, since I got sick with Lyme when I had already finished my degree. And so I was very, of course, deep into this holistic route. And so I really, for years, would not take any medication. But I think it got to the point where it almost was a bit of an unhealthy refusal, if that makes sense, where it was kind of...
Yeah, no, it does.
Yeah, kind of this, I'm going to just do everything perfectly and eat perfectly and check, 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 instead of, again, listening to my body. And so I think it got to this point of, you know what, Georgia, you have an infection from a tick in your body, and some of this medication can get rid of this, and then you can heal your gut with food how you know how to. So I think ultimately for me, I was almost too stubborn of refusing medication.
Yeah, I feel that though.
Yeah, and then it's hardened when this is your field, right? Where I was like, oh, is this okay? And this, right? But then I think it was ultimately this self-acceptance and self-grace that I just don't think it's so black and white with our health, I guess is what I'm trying to say.
That's a really good tip and point, to be honest with you, because I think sometimes we feel like it's either black and white, it's either all medicine or it's either all food, and there are opportunities for it to be a mixture of both. And then you might notice a even better change if you were to go like 50-50 or even smaller increments, depending on what your body needs. That is a really great idea and a picture to paint for people that there is some gray room where you do need to kind of like accept if you do need something or not. And I feel you. I'm stubborn too. I will try and do anything I can to not be on something that sounds like a chemical that I can't even read on the label, like you said.
Right.
And that's usually medicine. I can't pronounce it. And then people ask me what it is. I'm like, you know what? I don't even know, but I know what I'm eating. And I've gone through waves in my business and even my creative hobbies where I notice a huge fall in when I'm eating takeout consistently and I'm not feeling good. And then I notice a huge difference when I'm making an effort to hit that produce section in the grocery store and integrating some great foods into my diet that I know that my body needs. If we don't feed our body the proper nutrients, do you feel like we can still be creative and focused in our day-to-day life? Or do you think it truly can impact us drastically?
Oh, I think it can completely impact you. And I think too of even just, as you were saying earlier, even just the teeniest little changes can make such a huge difference. And I think another way to think about it, if sometimes it can be hard to grasp the effect that food can have on you or just how your body keeps score, is think about, you know, if you're nervous to give a big presentation at work, right? You might have a little bit of a stomach ache or that butterfly. And so I think that that can be a nice visual sometimes too of when we're wondering, well, does food really play a difference? Where, you know, your body keeps score, your body knows what's good for you and what's not. And then when you're eating that yummy, wholesome, whole foods first diet, you're going to feel more energized, which, like we were saying earlier, with taking care of yourself with breaks, you're going to actually be more productive because you're taking care of yourself and you're feeling better. And I think that's something I see so frequently with clients is they're, and understandably, right? We get so used to not feeling well. And we just think it's normal of, oh yeah, just whenever I eat, I'm constipated for 3 days or I have a headache every single day. And it's like, no, that's not normal. You should feel good. It feels good to feel good.
I did that so much, to be honest with you, Georgia. Like I would just say, oh, I stand up and it goes black and I feel like I'm going to pass out. That's totally fine. I don't need iron. I don't need spinach. Like I don't need to do any of that. It's fine.
Right.
Or even like my B12 intake. Like I remember I got blood work done and I was so low on B12. Mm-hmm. And they were like, do you eat anything in relation to help with your blood pressure? Like at all? I'm like, no, I don't. Like I wasn't actually looking into like, okay, do I need more sodium? Do I need less sugar? What foods are going to help with my B12? What foods are going to help with my iron? And those were like, I think two of the worst things that I did. And it made me feel exhausted 24/7. But like you said, the exhaustion starts to feel normal after a while. And how do you break out of it when you feel like it's your norm? It's like, there's still just that tiny voice in you that you've managed to subside and compress, still trying to say, hey, wouldn't it be nice if you didn't have to rely on your espresso for energy in the morning? Like, I don't know. Like you get used to it. And I'm happy you're bringing that up because I feel like we've all been there. We've all done that to ourselves at some point in our life, whether it be we noticed it through our day-to-day life or we noticed it at work or even both. I feel like it could be easy to notice during both.
Absolutely. And I think also giving yourself, again, that grace where it's, if we're eating, using extreme examples, but 3 cups of coffee and then a donut for breakfast, it's your body's craving more of that. And so I think sometimes too, we can take a little bit of any sort of shame that's there out where it's, no, your body's just having chemical reactions to what's being put in it. So you're going to be craving more sugar and more of those simple carbs if that's all you're eating. And so just, I think sometimes that can help of, okay, this isn't you know, my quote unquote fault here. This is just a natural response to what's being put in my body, but I can change that and be in charge of that. And I've had clients before who are shocked that in a month or so of working together that they're like, I'm craving kale. I did not think I'd crave vegetables because your taste buds change. And so it's so cool how it all works.
Hi, creatives. As we all know, registering or incorporating our business, creating legal agreements, and managing employees can be difficult when you have to run it through different programs. But I did all of this for my own graphic design studio and other businesses through Owner, the all-in-one place that allows you to register your business in 15 minutes. Check out the link in this episode's show notes to start growing your business online and quickly. To learn even more about managing and running a creative business, subscribe to our monthly email list as well through the link below. Let's get back to that episode. It's so true. I used to crave like milkshakes 24/7 mm-hmm. full of froyo and just like anything sweet that you could possibly throw in there.
Right.
And I crave more smoothies than anything like 24/7. Like I'm constantly looking at like the compressed juices or anything in relation to like anything. Just I crave sweets, but it's like a different kind.
Right.
That my mouth always wants. And I've always wondered, why is it that I'm craving this over that now? Is it because I started eating it more? Or is it because it's actually what my body's craving? Or mm-hmm. is it both? Like, what is it, just basically like our body's acknowledging like this is what I want more? Or is it actually we're getting our taste buds used to eating healthier and it just wants that because it knows how it tastes?
I think it's a little bit of both, where I think, you know, I think one, first of all, we're really conditioned to think that our cravings are bad or there's something wrong with us and that we just need to push it down and white knuckle through it.
Yeah.
But to reiterate, your body knows what it needs. Your body's capable of healing. Your body is this intelligent being on your side, right? You're one with it. And so first, I think starting to recognize and taking little shifts that, okay, if you are craving something, it's not bad. You're not bad. It's just your body saying, hey, okay, you need a little bit more of this.
Yeah.
So I think there's a little bit of both there, right? Where when you start to take out processed food and sugar and white flours and things like that from your body, you aren't craving it anymore because you're not getting those little hits of it, right? And then your taste buds change and you're actually craving those
definitely
wholesome, real foods. But I also think there's this element of it as well where perhaps that craving for, you know, a smoothie or whatever it is again, your body craving those nutrients because it knows what it needs. So I would just encourage people, if you are craving something, to just take that breath and just notice, okay, what's going on inside me? What does my body need? And sometimes that's actual food. And sometimes it's maybe a nap or maybe a walk or some ways to slow down and take care of yourself too.
Yes. Oh my God, again, the gray area. We need the balance of everything.
Right.
Ugh, the amount of times I neglect a nap or the times I neglect that I should probably go walk my dog because it's not even just him that needs to get out, it's me too.
Mm-hmm.
It's such a good balance of both. I think sometimes we just fall, like, I don't know, I want to say, I turn myself into like a victim. Sometimes
yeah.
when I finish work and then, well, I would say I'm pretty good at it now, but in the past, I would fall victim to finishing work and then thinking, oh, you know what would be great right now? Burgers. And then I get burgers and burgers. And it feels good to get burgers because it's fast mm-hmm. and I'm exhausted from the workday. When I go grocery shopping, my partner and I, we walk through the aisles and he and I look at some of the dinners and we're like, okay, how can we make something that's like healthier on these days now? Because it's kind of getting tiring eating out all the time.
Right.
What are some easy ways we can integrate healthy food into our diet that will allow us to feel more energized, but also like, I feel like just don't take, I think a lot of people assume that cooking good food takes a really long time.
Mm-hmm.
And what are some easy ways to get around that? What
yeah.
people are assuming?
Yeah, absolutely. I think, you know, to reiterate what you're saying as well, we're just in our Instagram, Pinterest world, we think that if we're eating healthy, we have to have this beautiful, elaborate meal. And just that reminder
yeah.
that eating healthy can be so simple. And again, as your taste buds change, you're going to be satisfied with just some green vegetables and a protein and keeping it really simple because your body's getting what it needs. And I'm really someone in nutrition where again, I'm not black and white. And I think there is, I want people and clients to, yeah, go have the burger and milkshake and beer every now and then, because I don't think we can live in this place of restriction forever. But again, back to kind of that gray area, on the flip side, we need to take care of ourselves and what we're putting in our body the majority of the time. So I think number one of just realizing, okay, I don't have to have some really, really crazy, intricate recipe. I can keep this super simple. Number two, I think a really great thing of just eating healthy, and something that most of us, myself included, it's so hard to do this every day, is we ideally need about 8 servings of those dark leafy green vegetables. And when I say servings, think, you know, handfuls that you're throwing on your plate. So about half of your plate. So even if you're having that burger, just starting to build a habit of getting in green vegetables at every meal. So if you have that green burger, then just have half of that plate be veggies too. And then that can be a nice, again, way to build the habit. So I would say just making sure you're adding in more of those green veggies. And then back to what we were saying earlier, we're just eating real simple food, right? Where if you don't know ingredients, skip it. And the more you can just have whole foods, no matter what the goal is for a client, weight loss, weight gain, hormone issues, autoimmune issues, we have to start with eating real food. And then when it comes to just kind of preparing it, I actually just did a whole podcast episode on meal prep. So that's going to be a 30-minute one on that. Yeah. So people can check that out on my podcast. But something that I find that for whatever reason, at the end of a long day, cooking proteins, if people eat animal protein, is something that no one seems to want to do, of, you know, throwing in like a chicken breast at the end of a long day. So I like to suggest to people of just cook all your proteins on one night. So take Sunday or Monday, cook it all, you're done. And then you can also cook your veggies at the same time. And then you can just have some things so there's not such that barrier to entry. And then if someone's plant-based, you know, cook all your lentils on one night. And so then every night there's not all of this prep.
Good point.
Yeah, and just reusing things. So then lunches are leftovers from dinner the night before. And again, we don't have to just reinvent the wheel and make these extravagant meals all the time.
I love leftovers. I don't care what anybody says. I get so excited when I know I don't have to make lunch. Yes. And I made it like the day before. Like, it's even just lunch sometimes that I'm like, oh my God, really? Like, I don't even have that long of a break for myself. I want to utilize it to actually do something for me. So yeah, like when you over prep, it's actually great because it benefits you. And I swear you end up thanking yourself in the future for it.
I'm so with you. I used to be a teacher, like I mentioned. And I think from doing that for 7 years, where it's not like now where I can, you know, walk down the street and get something, but it was just the bane of my existence of making a lunch. I was like, there's nothing I hate more than making a lunch. And so with that, that's, I think, true, like double your dinner recipes. And then, yeah, you don't just make it easy for yourself.
And like, that's why I think I fell in love with like my air fryer too, because exactly. I think if you know, you know. It's just like, it just re-crisps up that chicken so good, even though it was from like 2 or 3 days ago. It just does it wonders. You would never know you made it a while back.
Totally.
I know it sounds gross, but it's so good.
It's so good. And I think that's a great strategy for people that live alone. I know that was hard for me when I was living alone, and you're like, I don't want to follow a recipe, it's just me. And so air fryers are awesome for that, where you can just, yeah, take that chicken, take some Brussels, one pan, you're done in under 15 minutes. So I think that's a great easy meal prep thing too, alone or not alone. It just really simplifies things.
And tell me how you are in this situation, because sometimes I feel like I am super particular in different ways. So I'm not a picky eater, but I'm a picky chooser at the grocery store. So let me define that for a second. Each time I go to the grocery store, I cannot get the same vegetables. I need to like switch it up, if that makes sense. So it's like, if I'm getting Swiss chard 1 week, I would prefer to get rapini the next. And if I'm getting mushrooms 1 week, I would like to get some bell peppers the next for next week. So I'm not just constantly prepping or cooking the same things like every single week. I did that actually a couple months ago in the winter months, which already is a no-no, where I was just eating the same thing like every single day. And I remember just looking at myself and thinking, I am so boring. Like, what are you doing? There's so many great foods out there that can provide you the nutrients, but also won't cause you to be bored. And then this is where I ask you, do you get tired of food if you feel like you're overeating it too much?
Mm. So I am such a creature of habit. Sometimes it serves me, sometimes it doesn't. But I feel like I eat the same food and I get really into it. And then I'm like, oh, I can't eat this anymore. So like, for example, when we were in lockdown here, I think I ate the same salad for like 2 months every day for lunch.
And you loved it the same amount each day.
I loved it. And then I hit this wall where I'm like, I had these really good chicken sausages that I would get that were so yummy and, you know, just kind of clean version.
Yeah.
And then now I can't eat them at all.
I do that to myself too. It's like I obsess over something and then eventually I just look at it and I'm like, this is disgusting for absolutely no reason.
Yes.
It's still good, but I just can't do it.
I love that idea of branching out where I feel like I probably have the same grocery list and for months at a time.
Yeah,
I have been trying to do more cookbooks, at least for dinner, and that's been nice too. And then that's fun. I live with my partner now, so then the two of us can, you know, cook something together, and then it's stuff he enjoys and I enjoy. And so that's been nice too, because I think I realized that of, oh gosh, I'm eating the same thing all the time. So I now know, okay, at least for dinner I can mix it up.
And I love adventuring out to like a cookbook or like a recipe that I find online, because it's just like simple ways. Even in the way you season it, like sometimes, yes, I'm like, oh, chicken breast again. But then I think, wait, I probably, instead of making, I don't know, I always steer towards like Thai style chicken. I'm like, why don't I go Mongolian? And then there's just like, yeah, like, no, I'll go that fancy Georgia. So I'll just switch up the spices, like just like slightly in order to make my chicken breast that I'm tired of not boring.
Right.
So like, those are just like a couple of things that keep me going throughout the work week. And then all of a sudden I get a burst of creativity to cook amazing foods on the weekend. But during the week, it's hard. So the tactics that you gave in order to feel like it's not daunting to eat healthy food and it doesn't need to take forever and it doesn't need to look picture perfect, like those are great for anybody that's living that hectic or busy lifestyle where they feel like they don't have the time to put into cooking like 24/7.
Totally.
And for the people that are working towards specific goals, so it's not even just healthy eating. Like you said, there's like the hormone fluctuation. You might have to do something there. An autoimmune disorder, like you've been talking about, anything like that. What piece of advice would you give to those who feel like they need to embrace that way, like we were talking about, and that it's normal to feel this way? Like, what would you tell them, and how would you want them to look at their relationship with food when they have those things that they need to focus on versus just healthy eating in general? They have like an actual disease or just something that they know they need to work towards.
Right. Yeah. So many things. You know, I think if someone has a diagnosis, particularly in this autoimmune category, the first thing a doctor tells you typically is, okay, your body's attacking itself and there's no cure. And I find that so detrimental for so many reasons, and just a belief that I really don't believe.
That'd be hard to hear. Could you imagine that though?
Oh yeah, it's awful. I mean, that's what I was told, is what most of my clients are told. I mean, it's terrible. And so I think number one, of wherever you are on this inflammation spectrum, know that your body is on your side and that it wants to heal and that it's normal. I don't want to use the word normal, that it's possible to feel well. Mm-hmm. And so I would say just know that healing is possible. And then I think our overall wellness is this giant jigsaw puzzle. And I don't think that there, unfortunately, is one magic bullet that's going to completely level our hormones or completely get rid of Lyme disease. However, nutrition is a massive multiple pieces of this puzzle. And so I think that just knowing of, and again, a mindset switch here of, okay, instead of I'm going on this quote unquote diet, all the things I can't eat, of switch that around where we're taking ourselves out of victim mode of, my body is healing, my body is on my side. And right now there's going to be a little bit of short-term sacrifice, but then it's giving me more long-term flexibility, because if I can get this inflammation down and my gut healthy, then yeah, I can go have that burger that we were talking about. And yeah, I can have a milkshake and not sweat it because I'm taking care of my body the majority of the time. And I've done a protocol to get this inflammation under control where you're not just having this low grade feeling crappy every day.
I love how you pointed out that you kind of have to talk yourself out of feeling like there's nothing you can do, even if you're being told that, because mm-hmm. you do start to fall into that victim mentality where it's like, oh no, nothing's going to work. I don't even know I'm going to bother. So I'm just going to continue on this path that I know is not good for me and it might be hurting me. But if nothing's going to help me, then oh well.
Right.
I've also never been in the situation where someone's actually looked me in the eye and said, sorry, nothing you can do about it. I think I would get like angry almost.
Totally.
I couldn't even imagine experiencing someone saying no. I've been told in the past that if someone tells you no, you're just not talking to the right person.
Ooh, like yeah. That.
Yeah, I've been told that once and I'm like, that's good. I'm stealing that and then I'm going to tell somebody else. but there's so many different solutions to so many different problems. And for experts like you to be out there helping women and people conquer problems that they think aren't manageable or fixable, that's amazing, because I feel like there is always a point in somebody's life where they feel like there's nothing they can do,
or they just
are going undiagnosed. And just even integrating some healthier options to eat and acknowledging yourself on the topic, I mean, obviously we're not going to hit your level unless we choose to pursue it, but just looking into it more can help us so much.
Right. And it's so much too of that back to that balance piece when it comes to living with these conditions, because trust me, I had plenty of times where I was victim mode, crying, and sometimes still do, right? Where it feels so unfair and why can I just have a quote unquote normal body? But we can't live there forever. And then we also can't live in a toxic positivity, I'm fine either. And so what I always kind of encourage people is, okay, acknowledge pain when it's there. Acknowledge if anything's of how you're feeling. Throw yourself a pity party if you need to, and then step out of that victim mode and then start to, again, have that belief of like, it is possible to heal. So I think there is such that acknowledge, but don't and be in denial, but then also don't let this run your life where it doesn't have to, you know, be your identity.
Oh, yes. That's such a good point. That is such a really good point, because it doesn't define you. You're so much more than what you're currently going through physically. And then it might even end up leading to impacting you mentally. So like stopping it where you're acknowledging you're experiencing physical symptoms before it really, really gets to you is, that was a really great way of putting that. And thank you so much for talking to me about this, because I do feel like the days that I don't focus on myself, both like you said, getting out or finding a way to ensure that I'm feeding myself and the people around me, we feel it in our mood. We feel it in the way we we walk and talk. Like, it's just the whole thing. You do endure it. So I want to thank you for just like spreading awareness about it and then letting people know that the more time you put into yourself, it reflects into your work too.
Yeah, totally. And I think it's so important as just entrepreneurs too, where I've definitely had points of, okay, I'm on the other side of the line, but then I'm at the point where I have just about a year ago, where I was just grinding so much and just working so hard and waking up so early and going to work out and then being at my desk all day, where then my body was starting to manifest physical symptoms of just being exhausted. Yeah. Exactly. And so I think I got to that point again where I was like, whoa, I'm telling people to take care of themselves and take breaks.
I'm not.
And my freaking hair is falling out because I'm so stressed, and it is time to really reevaluate. And so I think too, in this world of, particularly self-employment and entrepreneurship, we almost have to double down in that field.
Yeah. And thank you for even just admitting that you go through it too, even, presently, and you even have to sit down and say, what am I doing to myself? Like, and that's, I experience the same thing. As soon as I realize I'm not sleeping enough or I'm not eating well enough and I'm not taking care of myself and I just feel burnt out, the first thing I notice is my hair falling out. And so does my hairdresser. She's just pulling it out and she's like, Danielle, what the heck are you going through? And I'm like, you know what? That's probably my cue.
Totally. Because think again of kind of what I was saying earlier of like, okay, if you're nervous, your stomach's going to hurt. And that manifestation of hair is just that feeling out of control where it's falling out, but we're trying to grip so tightly. Or it's if someone is, not able to go to the bathroom a lot of times because they're holding on so tightly. So it's so much of this. It's amazing how our bodies let us know what it's feeling.
It is. And if we tune into it. But they have a great way of telling us, a great way.
Totally.
And you feel it sometimes, like, hard. Like, if I don't take enough fiber, oh yeah, I feel it. If I'm like not eating enough vitamin C, oh yeah, I feel it. It's just funny. It's all a balance. And thank you for also saying that you can eat out, but you know, you still got to just balance it out with something else. Like, you don't need to deprive yourself. There's so many great tidbits from this episode that are great to make mental notes of, or physical notes too. I do that sometimes when I listen to podcast episodes. So thank you so much, Georgia, for everything. Before I let you go though, I do want to ask if there's any upcoming projects that the listeners should look out for, and where could they find this and you online?
Yeah, definitely. It's been so fun to chat. And I think with nutrition in particular, it can be so overwhelming. And so I like to encourage people, after listening to an episode like this, just choose one thing that I say and try to implement and start there. Because I think what happens with nutrition in particular is we're like, okay, I got to go, you know, prep all my proteins, and then I need to make sure that everything's clean, and it can, and then we get overwhelmed and then we don't do anything. And so I like to recommend with people of, okay, just, and sometimes it's even sleep on what you hear. Like, right? Like, don't go run to Whole Foods right now. Go kind of sleep on it, see how you feel, what resonates, and then just choose one thing. And then when you get that one thing down, go on to the next thing. So just, yeah, starting small is something I always encourage people. But upcoming projects and such. So right now I'm in the middle of something called my Nutrition Business Bootcamp. Kind of similar of what I went through with my own health stuff of, I went through something hard and then figured it out and then helped people with it too, was I've realized that there's so many people in the nutrition space that are so good at working with their clients one-on-one and really knowledgeable, but they really struggle with how to start a business.
Yeah.
And so I now have an online course. I'm in the middle of it right now, but I'm launching another one, a little back to school one in August. And so in this nutrition business bootcamp, it's 5 sessions with me over 10 weeks. And I essentially just teach people how to create the nutrition business of their dreams and how to create a business that thrives instead of one where you're slamming your head against your computer wondering where clients are. So yeah, you can, it's open enrollment, so people can apply on my website, which is just wholebodyhealingnutrition.com. And then I'm the same on Instagram and TikTok. You can just find me at Whole Body Healing. And then my podcast is just Whole Body Healing Podcast with Georgia Gray. So yeah. And I love to hear from people too. So if you ever have, you know, questions, feel free to shoot me a DM or an email or something.
And for everybody listening, I'll have it below in the show notes, but congratulations. I feel like that course sounds like so much fun. I personally love taking online courses and learning from people like you, like mentors. I feel like we all deserve one and we can always do something better in our business. So thank you so much. Thank you for sharing that. I've got a lot of friends in the space that I'm sure could get a lot of use out of that too. So I'll be sure to share that around. But thank you so much, Georgia, for joining me. And I cannot wait to see what you do.
Thank you so much. It's been great to chat with you.
Thank you for tuning into today's episode. We're always brewing out something new for all of you to tune into and love hearing from you. Our team over here on Brewing Up Creativity would love it if you joined our community in any capacity. Whether it be checking us out on Instagram at Bring Up Creativity or leaving a review to help us better serve you as listeners. If you're looking to join or sponsor an episode, reach out to us through email, which is linked in our episode's show notes below. Thanks, creatives.